This is a Monday, Ozarks at Large. Thank you for being with us. The situation in Afghanistan is growing more dire for many asylum seekers still hoping to get out of the country. A refugee resettlement agency in the state is now preparing to welcome some families and special immigrant visa holders into the state. Ozarks at Large's Daniel Kruth has details on that and more from his conversation with an Afghan immigrant now living in Northwest Arkansas.
As turmoil continues in Afghanistan after the withdrawal of United States forces from the country last week, Arkansas could potentially welcome some asylum seekers in the coming weeks. On Thursday, Governor Asa Hutchinson began his weekly press briefing with an update on the situation in Afghanistan.
The second priority, though, should be those Afghan nationals that fought alongside, trained alongside, and supported the U.S. mission. And the point I want to make today is that Arkansas understands the American responsibility toward those families, those brave people that supported the United States of America and its mission, and Arkansas would welcome them as part of the other states that are welcoming those that need a place of refuge.
Arkansas's sole refugee resettlement agency, Canopy of Northwest Arkansas, is based in Fayetteville. Executive Director Joanna Krause says the organization is preparing to welcome some Afghan families and others who supported the U.S. mission.
Canopy is actively working to prepare our capacity to receive new arrivals, whether they are SIV holders, special immigrant visa holders from Afghanistan, or elsewhere in the world as the refugee resettlement program resumes.
She says her organization is one of the smallest resettlement agencies in the U.S., and the number of people who can settle in Arkansas is capped by federal policies.
So we don't know how many families may come. I think it will be a small number initially, but the start of the federal fiscal year is October 1st, and things may look very different depending on how the evacuation goes over the next couple of weeks.
Canopy helps refugees find housing and job placement and assist with other social services to better integrate them into a new country.
We'd love to see people be hands-on volunteers through identifying housing, through becoming community mentors. We also have a local team who helps furnish apartments or provide a hot meal and a few days worth of groceries through our meal team. We're also doing some fundraising. Either donations to Canopy will be used towards our resettlement efforts, or there is a national fund for our Afghan neighbors in need, and contributions to that fund will go to any SIV family in the country who needs funding immediately.
Krause echoed the governor's sentiment that the U.S. and Arkansas has a commitment to serve those Afghans who supported U.S. operations in their country for two decades.
We believe this, and at the national level, that we have a commitment to our Afghan allies to evacuate all of the people who served alongside our troops and in our embassies, and then also those who served through American media companies as journalists, or in many different roles and capacities that has helped us here. And so we're definitely encouraged to see this process move forward and this commitment to really evacuate all of the individuals who have made extreme sacrifices in terms of their personal safety to help us in the U.S.
Krause's colleague Khalid Ahmadzai is the organization's director of economic advancement and also immigrated to Arkansas from Afghanistan in 2010. I spoke with him about the situation in his home country last week.
When I think of this last week, it's just been hopeless. I went to Minnesota to pick up my mom so we could grieve together. Just watching it was just, I think, hopeless and helpless. And Afghanistan's news was, there was always this grim picture of what is happening. But at the end of the day, there was some signs of hope, and this week has been, that hope was gone too, so.
And having, because there is a small number of refugees from Afghanistan who are here in Northwest Arkansas, have you talked to them, and what are some of the things that they're saying and feeling, and how can people here maybe support them? I don't know.
I think we accepted the fact that this happened, and it was quick acceptance. And then it's the grief. The other night we all went to Wilson Park and we stood there. It was later in the night, and just we kind of ignored it. Like yeah, things are bad. We are all. And then as we were saying goodbye, and all of a sudden everybody burst into tears. It was the moment to kind of accept the fact that this happened, and we were there for hours. It was past 11 o'clock because the lights went off, but we were there and kind of accepting that truth and just living with it. But I say it was not expected, but there were so many reasons that it was going to happen. Especially after the president announced that we're going to withdraw from Afghanistan. I think many people ignored it, and we are seeing it now.
And to be here and sitting on that side and seeing this country's response to the withdrawal, and to hear the president talk about how it was inevitable and unavoidable, you know, how did those words sit with you, and how does it feel to see that reaction?
I think it's easy for public to make it a simple line of story. But the simplistic narrative is not the story. It's more complicated. And it's not an internal dispute between this tribe and that tribe. There's more to that story. And I think I want to push back towards that narrative that it's simple. Like if this would have happened even 5 years ago or 10 years later. No, Afghanistan was, for the last 40 years, it's been the hotbed for war for others. It is unfortunate to see that Afghans did not fight. For goodness sake, 66,000 to 70,000 soldiers were killed. They gave their blood to fight for this government. So that's wrong to say the Afghans didn't fight. There are money hands that other countries involved supporting the Taliban. And I think the cowardice of not taking responsibility and say, well, it's somebody else's responsibility because they didn't fight. That's not true. That's not a reflective of 66,000 or 70,000 soldiers who fought. I think for me, the initial shock was when the Bagram Air Base was evacuated. And just put yourself in a shoe of an Afghan soldiers who are fighting in a remote village. The air power, which was very essential, and that was one of the fears of Taliban, and was assisted by the U.S. And all of a sudden, the Bagram Air Base, which was one of the largest bases in Afghanistan, was abandoned overnight, and they told nobody. I mean, for goodness sake, that's your partner government that host country, and you didn't even tell them that you're leaving. So the soldier who's fighting is like, well, we lost the support. The NATO was there with Afghanistan fighting the Taliban, and the NATO gave up, the US gave up, and expecting Afghans to stand. So yes, they finally, when they saw that there's no support, they also have children and families, and so they're like, okay. But again, there's those who left, and they're starting a resistant movement. And we'll see that the story is a little bit too, right now it's too foggy to see what happened, the story behind it. But there was so much progress that happened in 20 years. Freedom of press, the infant mortality rate dropped by more than 50%. 50% of the population are women, and children were able to go to school. Here, right, like it's just a small example that's connected to Arkansas, is the Fulbright scholarship, which allowed hundreds, if not thousands, of Afghans to come and get a top-notch education and go back to Afghanistan to invest because again, in 2001, when the U.S. came to Afghanistan, the infrastructure was not there. So you're not even starting from zero. You're starting from minus whatever, 100. And by the time you brought it to the ground level, it took time. So I think there's a lot to be said about what to learn from this situation in Afghanistan. But there was a lot of progress. I'm sitting here, and if it was not because of the U.S. intervention, I don't think I would have been here. During the Taliban time, I was in prison four times, and that would have continued. The crimes, like I listened to music. I spent 2 weeks in prison because I listened to a particular, or any music, you had a different type of haircut. That was 2 weeks. And then you didn't grow beard. That was 2 weeks. And this was the story. And it was very dark. It was barbaric. And things have changed drastically. The girls were going to school. I worked in an international school that was funded by the U.S. taxpayers to help Afghan students and those who are returning back to Afghanistan from the diplomatic community. We started with, in 2005, we started with, I think, 70 students. And in 2015, it was over 350 students. They finished and they came in to universities. And many of them went back and served in different various capacities, but they went to serve Afghanistan. And so there's a lot of good things happen, but it collapsed so quickly.
And when you hear the Taliban reports that the Taliban has changed, and they say, oh, we'll allow women to participate in society and we'll be a legitimate government, and that it has somehow changed from 20 years ago, you know, how does that ring to you? Do you believe any of that?
I push back that narrative of Taliban 2.0 because the evidence doesn't show that. There's population of 35 plus million people. If you take half of them or women, and then one TV presenter who comes in that doesn't represent, that's a single story. And let's not fool ourselves with that. One story is like, they've changed because they allowed a woman to come in and speak, a journalist on TV. But I think that's going to change. And I remember when they came the first time. I was in eighth grade at that time. And when they came in, a majority of my school teachers were women. And all of a sudden, overnight, they couldn't come. Now all my subjects are going to be taught by two teachers, two male teachers. And then after that, the chaos was very, like, it started like that. And then at the beginning, they asked women, it's like, oh, you need to wear this this chadar namaz. So there was like a veil. But then sooner after that, it's like, no. You need to have the full chadari or burqa. It's hard for me to be optimist right now, really. Yeah. But to say that they're gonna bring in and they've changed, show me the evidence. If anything, it's worse. Afghans don't deserve that.
So for people here, you know, what are ways that Americans or people in Northwest Arkansas in the state can help or do something to support Afghanistan and to support the people who are still there or the people here who are grieving the loss of their country?
I think at the moment, if you are a resident and you hear this, call your representative and ask them to extend the time to keep the evacuation. Because at the moment, it's until the end of this month, and it's not enough time to evacuate all those who are leaving. I work for Canopy Northwest Arkansas. It's a refugee resettlement agency. Fairly small. We started in 2016 and resettled more than 200 individuals in Northwest Arkansas. We will post all our needs and also ways for folks to get involved. And a good example would be to just follow us on Facebook and our website. we are in need of co-sponsors as we are preparing ourselves to get folks. But housing is really an issue. That's something that we could say that we will help and we could relocate, bring people here. But if housing is an issue, because again, it's you need to have that social security. And when folks come in at the beginning, they don't have that social security, and so there's a lot of those red tapes. So if people have an extra house, or they their landlord who wants to, like, I have a house and I can rent it, talk to us. We would that's our huge need, and get engaged, raise your voice. So those are some of the recommendations I would say tangible for folks in Arkansas. And I would like to see Arkansans show that solidarity with Afghanistan through opening their homes and backyards and hearts for this new group of people that we would be receiving. I think just let us all live to that high ideal of Arkansas as a center for Southern hospitality.
That was Khalid Akhmadzai, Director of Economic Advancement for Canopy of Northwest Arkansas. Those looking to volunteer or support can visit canopynwa.org. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Daniel Carruth.
Daniel Carruth's stories are produced inside the Karen Taha News Studio. And each weekday morning at 5:30 and 7:30, Daniel delivers morning newscasts from there during Morning Edition.